Hello, everybody. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you showed up. Let's get on with it. I just want to state my purpose here. I'm making this show to help inspire curiosity and to share things that I'm interested in, but primarily and foremost, I'm pushing love and compassion. Unconditional love for a stranger and love for yourself, which sometimes can be very similar. So please remember to be curious, to keep your eyes and your ears open, to learn from any and everybody that you come in contact with, and please take care of yourself. It's the best way to take care of yourself. So, I've had a trying week. My son's birthday was this weekend, and it went kind of lackluster, which made me dip a bit because I didn't plan enough and I could have done better. But it's passed. But I think he was disappointed. We did do a lot of stuff, me and him together. But I think he felt lonely because he wanted a pool party with a lot of people, and I couldn't deliver a pool or people. My friend and his daughter showed up, which was just a saving grace to have somebody show up, and I'm so grateful. And they were able to hang out, and we did cake, and me and my buddy played chess, which I haven't played with an adult in a very long time. And then I took him to the trampoline place, and we did jumping, and then we did a movie, and I let him pick all the meals. We ate out a lot. I took him to Walmart. I let him pick out a bunch of stuff so that he chose all of his toys. And it was just kind of banal, and it wasn't special. And that's what was killing me. And I had an interesting day Friday of last week where sometimes I'm just in a fantastic mood. And when I feel good, my primary goal in life is to give that good feeling to somebody else. Because honestly, I'm probably manic and I'll just burst alive if I don't put it on somebody else. And I guess that I can be pretty obnoxious. I carried the ADHD label a lot when I was younger. I was always a motor mouth, and I still am, which is why I sit here in front of a microphone and talk to you guys, because I'm basically here by myself just talking for a very long time, and it kind of tires me out. But when I'm feeling good, I talk a lot, you know, and I'm chiefly joking around. And I guess I get kind of foolish, kind of silly. And, you know, a lot of times I have to catch myself after I've kind of been manic for a while and settle myself. And often that happens when somebody outside of me says, hey, you need to relax. I used to run around a kitchen, which is incredibly dangerous and just completely unnecessary as well. So I was having a pretty good day, and it was me and my boss working, and honestly, I thought we were getting along really well, and we were working together for probably about 2 hours-ish, and my other coworker was off doing other tasks, and I thought we were having a pretty good time. I only started probably half the conversations. Like, it wasn't just me hanging out, you know? And I went off to do dishes, and my other coworker comes back and he's like, you gotta stop pissing him off. And I was just immediately drawn back because I was in a really good mood and completely caught off guard. And in hindsight, from this particular source, I probably did not need to take it as gospel. I should have known the gossip nature and held my judgment, especially because it was coming from a third party who wasn't involved with me and the person in the situation that was being talked about. But it got me. And I remember I was like, you know, I'm not even mad. It can't even affect me. And my coworker, who's very blunt and always very honest, you know, looked at me and was like, well, it's obviously affecting you because you're getting worked up. And I was just like, okay. And I walked away. I got quiet. And I'm a very slow processor of things. And so over like a 45 minute to an hour period, I just fell very slowly into almost anger. You know, it was very red, crimson, misplaced is a better word. And I was just so mad, not really even at my boss for talking shit, because honestly, that's his karma. That's who he is. He's very angry and he's an unstable man, and that's what he is. That's what he does. And I should expect it every day I walk in that building. And if I expect it, it won't be as hard to take, because me and him are not friends. He will never treat me like a friend. He's my boss and he has his own issues and he doesn't need my help and I don't need to give it, but I've taken on this as almost a karmic duty for myself, as a practice for myself, which I need to remember. You know, I'm treating him with unconditional love and honesty, and I'm showing him a model of what anger isn't, or trying to. That was my goal, and I was mad because he was messing up that goal that I was attached to. And so that made me angry. I was angry because he wasn't allowing me not to be angry. But the only person who can do that is me. You see? We control our reactions completely, even though emotions can take us for a ride and are heavy and can have very venomous side effects like any other strong negative narcotic. Yet, in this situation, I was caught up in an attachment that I was completely blind to. So I should say thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Thank you for giving this opportunity for me to see this attachment I had. Because otherwise I would have kept going on dandy-dandy if I had never known how he honestly truly felt. You see? So this was an enlightening opportunity for me. In the moment it sucked, you know, and I got probably the most, my son follows me in my outbursts. Like he has the same tantrums and the same psychological process that I do. And I'm not sure if it's genetic or if I taught him. But when I don't care anymore, I completely don't care anymore. And it's insane how much I care when I do care. But when I stop caring, you know, I've been fired from most of my jobs, in all honesty. When I was younger, I had a very bad attitude and a very red hot temper, and I could not control myself very well. And when I'm in that state of mind, you know, I throw shit and I get myself fired. You know, I had one manager even threaten to call the cops, you know, because he wanted me to leave that badly. And that's really sad. And it's the most I've lost my cool at this establishment. I've done a very good job for several months under critical conditions. And I should be proud of that. You know, but in this situation, I lost my cool due to my own attachments, to my own plan, my own ideas on what I was doing. When in totality, the only thing any of us have to do when it comes to love is just freely give it. The trouble comes when we have expectations on how they should receive it and on what that reception implies about our own self-worth. Our own self-worth is self-derived. I believe that our soul, our spark, our Atman is indestructible and eternal. And all the feelings and shit that we have to go through is a lot of baggage, but it's all illusionary, you know, and we can drift through the rapids and get to the other side. But what makes us special, that spark, that what I straight think is divinity, that's indestructible. No bad moment, not even a trauma, can really mark that bright core, at least in my beliefs. And that's not to talk down anybody's trauma, since I brought up a big T word. Nothing that has happened to you that has hurt you in this body, in this vessel, and the sense of who you are, none of that is righteous or perfect. And I don't think it should have happened, per se. You know, but I'm grateful that you have made it through those trying times. And I'm grateful that you're here breathing. And I'm so glad that hopefully you're in a better place. And if you're not, consider the fact that you are worth it and you should get out of there right now if somebody's hurting you. So once my coworker was able to calm me down, and once I realized what was happening, which took me about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, I got it, figured it out, and I got on top, and I didn't let it mark me too badly for the rest of the day. And then we had the weekend, and then Monday happens. Odin hasn't been suspended from the school yet, and Monday, which was his actual birthday date, he was suspended, and I had to leave work around 12:30, and the only person that was working with me was the owner, was my boss. And so it was so bad, and I've been through this exact situation like probably 60 or 70 times at this point. And that's not even exaggerating. I've been through the process of having to pick him up from daycare or school so many times. And that's part of the reason I have this rut of reaction that I have found myself writing in. And we have to remember that even when something is consistent and chronically a stress, which happens in life, we have chronic stresses that wear us down like sandpaper. This moment is especially tender for me, and I happen to be an idiot, and I keep falling for the carrot and stick every time, which just shows Odin another horrible example on how to handle things, because he sees me get into a stressful situation, whereas he was in school stressed out, and he's dealing with his own baggage and his own things, and then he gets stressed and he has a bad meltdown, and then he sees me get exposed to his stress and he sees me have a worse meltdown. He's like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to do it. See dad over here? And you know, there's been a couple times, and I think I discussed it on the show once, where there's been a couple times that I've handled it very well, and it's like I had God on my shoulder and somehow I made it through it gracefully. But the majority of the times I have made severe mistakes, and these have been the biggest tests for my parenting. And Monday was not great, and I was not a good human when I arrived. And I was very angry, and I was cursing in their office, and I was definitely making all the ladies in the office very uncomfortable because I was vehemently pissed off. And, you know, Odin sees it all, and you know, but I wasn't very rough with him. But it was his birthday. So when we finally got out of there, it was very quiet. And it was his birthday. You know, like I didn't know how to handle the situation because I couldn't knock it off like he wasn't suspended, because he was suspended the next day too, which means that I had to orchestrate some sort of childcare situation quickly. Which isn't new. And I didn't know how to handle that situation. We did his pinata, but honestly, just the entire day, I was shit. I was just stuck in a hole of self-pity and disgust. And I couldn't even look Odin in the eye or really even interact with him because I was just in my own filth, and it was just awful, and I fucked it up. It's probably going to be his worst birthday that he's ever had. And I'm being brutally honest here, and you can judge me however you want, but I mishandled it. Towards around 6:30, 7 o'clock that night, I was able to start to unclench myself a bit, and we watched a movie, and we kind of hung out, and it seemed normal because he was getting what he wanted. And then as soon as we transitioned into bedtime, he just flipped a switch and started getting really mean and spiteful, and I can't help but feel that he was trying to hurt me, which a lot of it is, you know, okay, because I've not been a great parent, and people keep telling me I'm being too hard on myself, but I'm not going to bastardize him for his anger towards me, because I understand it, and I can do my best moving forward, but he just got so hard and wouldn't stay in bed, and so I had to like restrain him softly. You know, I didn't spank him the entire time, which I'm very proud of, but you know, I had to hold him in his room for like 45 minutes before I just finally started feeling my anger rise, and instead of letting it out, I just left. And I was like, all right, dude, you do what you need to do. And I left, and I came to the room, and I was trying to close the door, but he wouldn't let me close the door. And so when I opened the door, he just broke down crying. And so I let him lay down in bed, and he let me hold him. And I brushed his hair, and I helped him get to sleep. And I thought about trying to move him, but at that point, I thought that if I moved him, it would just excite him again, and he'd get mad and just use it as more time. And so I just let him sleep, because it was already late, and we'd already been fighting for like an hour and a half. You know, parenting can be really hard sometimes, guys. But it tainted me, and the next day I was still fucked up, because I had to go into my boss after leaving him at work, and my boss like sensed my attitude and seemed okay. And I think it's because if you have a bigger attitude than he does, he kind of bows down. And he's been doing like Ramadan, so he's not eating or drinking, so he's like extra. Anyways, but he was ridiculously good to me, and he honestly helped lift me. He joked around with me, and he helped lift me out. I'm grateful to the man for that. He's not a horrible person, even though I do think he's abusive. But I don't think he understands the depth of what he's doing to people, because he has his own issues, so they seem valid, because we project our insecurities on people like that. That's a human attribute, and I'm admitting it in myself, as should you. As Jesus said, he who casts the first stone, something, was never a great Christian. But yeah, made it through the day. And it was weird, because I would like feel better, and then I would fall and feel better and then fall. And it was like probably a 30-hour period of this incredibly negative feelings that I was enduring and creating for myself. And then on the way home from work, God peeks through the clouds, and a good friend of mine texts me on Facebook and asks me and Odin to go to the park with him. And I didn't respond. And so then he called me and was like, hey, do you want to go do this? It was like a second attempt, which is beautiful. Not a lot of people do that anymore. And at first I just was like, hey man, I'm really fucked up in the head. And in my mind, I'm like, you don't want to be around me. Like pity party. You don't want to be around me. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't know how to handle Odin. I'm not even sure if I can be around him right now safely. Not safely, but, you know, humanely. And he was like, okay. It was kind of sad. And I was like, okay. As soon as I put the phone down, you know, I recognized God in him. And I realized that this was my chance to unclench, because my heart felt like a clam, tight. And I had so much pressure on it that I've never been that good at relieving that pressure myself. And what I found is that in all my most dire times of stress, there's always been some beautiful soul who's pulled me out of it. Not to say I'm dependent, but I'm grateful. And sometimes it's just a stranger. It's just somebody really nice at the grocery store. So, you know, just some bit of light and kindness that is glimpsed through. And it seems to take off some of that pressure on the lid of my clam. And once I can breathe, I can start to lift it off myself. And it happens very quickly where I can shift out of that negativity and into my, at least what feels to me more sane headspace. It was a great day. We went to a beautiful park in nature and I talked with them, and they're amazing people, and they have three daughters, and those daughters played with my son, and they climbed rocks and found caves, and Odin had a tremendously good time. It made me happy to see him having a good time, because I didn't want him suffering anymore. No parent wants to punish their children, you know, and you can tell your kid that 100 million times, and they won't believe you until they're sitting here at halfway through 20s and bitterly disappointed with how they treated their own parents. You know, no child will believe you when you tell them that you don't want them to be hurt. You don't want them suffering. You don't. That one of the biggest seeds of punishment is because we're trying to diffuse their own self-destruction and self-destructive behavior, which is inherently human. We humans have this seed of self-destruction, and it feeds on power, and it feeds on that callousness and that separation, and it is dimmed and stuffed by love and compassion and letting go and being able to hear out another human. We also smoked some DMT on a hilltop while the sun was low. The clouds were high. And that's when the final pressure lifted off my heart. And I knew that I was going to be okay for a little bit. Me and Odin fought that night again. But it is what it is. We fought again tonight. But I walked away. I maintained my calmness. I didn't show him any anger. And when he refused to work with me, I walked away and I went to my room. And surprisingly, he did not try to budge in or make a lot of noise. And I'm pretty sure he's asleep right now. I'm pretty sure he was asleep within 5 minutes of him walking away. And I'm going to take that as a solid. And I'm going to expect it tomorrow. Oh, I didn't really even finish my moral. So one of the things I dragged from that day on Friday when my boss said those things behind my back, and then I took it personally because I was attached to my own ego-driven pursuits of unconditional love, which I know sounds very paradoxical, but it is the hole that I found myself in that day. The only thing that we can do when we're in a situation with anybody, no matter how bad you think they are, which is a judgment call on you, and you can betcha that inside their head, they don't see it the same way as you do. The only thing you have to do in a situation, especially when you have an agreement with yourself to just be good and to not feed it, is just be good and not feed it. The purpose for giving unconditional love is just giving it. There's an endless supply. The fuel source is your spark, and you can give it freely if you're not attached to it. That's the caveat. If you give love freely and you're attached to it, you're putting yourself on it. And that is what hurts. But it's not actually where the love lands, because you could give love attached and still probably help somebody sometimes. But you can give love attached and definitely hurt yourself. So it brings that unfulfilled feeling of pity that turns to anger. So, hold your own space. Know that you are good, that you are beautiful, and that's why you're doing it. simply because you are good and you are beautiful. And it doesn't matter how it lands, but it'll land. And it's infectious. You can cause a transformation around you if you care and you give love freely, but unattached. All right. Let's see here. Let's do a quote or two. Our first reading from Thomas Merton's collection of The Way of Chuang Tzu. This is The Act of Life. If an expert does not have some problems to vex him, he is unhappy. If a philosopher's teaching is never attacked, he pines away. If critics have no one on whom to exercise their spite, they are unhappy. Haters gonna hate. All such men are prisoners in the world of objects. He who wants followers seeks political power. He who wants reputation holds an office. The strong man looks for weights to lift. The brave man looks for an emergency in which he can show bravery. The swordsman wants a battle in which he can swing his sword. Men past their prime prefer a dignified retirement in which they may seem profound. Men experienced in law seek difficult cases to expend the application of laws. Liturgists and musicians like festivals in which they parade their ceremonious talents. The benevolent, the dutiful, are always looking for a chance to display virtue. Where would the gardener be if there was no more weeds? Who would become a business without a market of fools? Where would the masses be if there was no pretext for getting jammed together and making noise? What would become of labor if there was no superfluous objects to be made? Produce, get results, make money, make friends, make changes, or you will die of despair. Those who are caught in the machinery of power take no joy except in activity and change, the whirring of the machine. Whatever an occasion for action presents itself, they are compelled to act. They cannot help themselves. They are inexorably moved, like the machine of which they are a part. Prisoners in the world of objects, they have no choice but to submit to the demands of matter. They are pressed down and crushed by external forces, fashion and market, events, public opinion. Never in a whole lifetime do you recover their right mind. The act of life. What a pity. So, I found this just completely scathing. Chuang Tzu is never usually that hard. He's generally funny, satirical, maybe, at his hardest. But this one's scathing. He is trying to make a point about, I would say, too much activity or self-interest within what I would consider almost greed, because you always have to have some activity. Even an action is activity, you see? But it's doing it smart and doing it well, and not just trying to power your way through the world like some ladder. All right. I want you to hear just a little bit of Terry Pratchett, because I think it's pretty funny. Terry Pratchett is a author who wrote a book called Discworld, which Discworld, there's a bunch of them. It's a really funny fiction. He's, when I read him, he's British, so I hear like Monty Python in my head. So we'll see here. All right. My bad. It'd be only fair, said Brother Watchtower slowly. But Brother Plasterer was right, really. I can't see a scion manifesting his destiny just because Brother Doorkeeper thinks the woman in the vegetable shop keeps giving him funny looks. No offense. And bloody short waits, said Brother Doorkeeper. And she. Yes, 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 said the Supreme Grandmaster. So this conversation is happening like in a secret society in a dark basement with skulls everywhere, and everybody's wearing black robes. Truly the right-thinking folk of Ankh-Morpork are beneath the heel of the oppressors. However, a king generally reveals himself in rather more dramatic circumstances, like a war, for example. Things were going well. Surely for all the self-centered stupidity, one of them would be bright enough to make the suggestion. There used to be some old prophecy or something, said Brother Plaster. My granddad told me. His eyes glazed with effort of dramatic recall. Yea, the king will come bringing law and justice. You know that. You know nothing but the truth, and protect and serve the people with his sword. You don't all have to look at me like that. I didn't make it up. Oh, we all know that one, and a fat lot of good that be, said Brother Watchtower. I mean, what does he do? Ride in with law and truth and so on, like the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Hello, everyone, he squeaked. I'm the king, and that's truth over there, watering his horse. Not very practical, is it? Nah, you can't trust those legends. Why not? Said Brother Dunnikin in a peeved voice. Because they're legendary. That's how you can tell, said Brother Watchtower. So, I guess a little bit more backstory because it's kind of random. I'm really picking these very randomly. But they're talking about how if they can displace the current ruler, a new king will swoop in and save them. And they're arguing about that in a secret society because secret societies always try to influence the world, you know, through assassinations and dark sort of stuff, which I thought that was clever. Let's see here. I want to do a little bit from the Tatriya Upanishad. This is starting right from the top at part one. May the Lord of Day grant us peace. May the Lord of Night grant us peace. May the Lord of Sight grant us peace. May the Lord of Might grant us peace. May the Lord of Speech grant us peace. May the Lord of Space grant us peace. I bow down to Brahman, the source of all power. I will speak the truth and follow the law. Guard me, I want to say right now, this is me speaking, but it's not the law of the land. It's not the law of the people. There's a massive distinction, especially in Sanskrit, between natural law and the law of man. Guard me and my teacher against all harm. Part two. Let us learn the art of recitation, which calls for knowledge of letters, accent, measure, emphasis, sequence, and rhythm. Part three. May the light of wisdom illumine us. May we become united with the Lord. Let us contemplate five categories. The world and luminous worlds in the sky. Education, progeny, and speech. What is this world? Earth below, sky above, air between, and the space connecting them. What are the luminous worlds in the sky? Fire on one side and sun on the other. Water between, lightning connecting them. What is education? Teacher speaking to the disciple seated by his side. Wisdom between, discourse connecting them. What is progeny? Mother on one side, father on the other, the child between, the sexual organ connecting them. What is speech? The lower jaw and the upper, words between, and the tongue connecting them. Those who contemplate these categories will have children, cattle, food, and wisdom. So this is very, very, very old. Very old. It's definitely a wisdom text. I would consider it holy. It's hit me. The thing that connects, I identify heavily with the Tao. I see a lot of similarities between Tao and Hinduism, between Tao and Buddhism. And honestly, I see Tao everywhere. But, yeah. Think on that last one a little bit, part three, especially. Thank you guys for being here. I'm so grateful that you've given me this opportunity and this platform because without your ears, I'm just talking to myself. And that's okay. I'll make this show even if I'm making it for myself. But the knowledge that I know that I'm getting out my philosophy, my goodwill, and hopefully I can give you some of that. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. Thank you. Remember, you are love, you are divine, you are special, and you have an impact, and you can transform the world around you. Let's see what Odin has to say about things. I'm not going to ask him about all the shit that we went through, but he's good. He's going to be okay. He's strong. I'm proud of him. He's my soldier. Let's see what he's thinking about. Well, unfortunately, it seems that I got a decline. He does not want to talk on the show, which is fair. That's his right. He doesn't have to talk if he doesn't want to. So hopefully we'll have him back next week. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. And remember, be love.